All right, I'd like to go back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 this morning. So take your Bible and go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, we started looking at this several weeks ago, that Paul here is reminding believers about the day of the Lord. We spent some time looking at the day of the Lord there in verse 2. He says, "For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. When they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that the day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night, nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night. They that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with Him." The day of the Lord is that period of time that begins with the tribulation and runs all the way through the millennium. It's an important subject in the Old Testament especially. And Paul is speaking to these Jewish believers who would have had some knowledge of the day of the Lord, perhaps from their knowledge of the Old Testament, or Paul perhaps taught them about this, and he's reminding them about it. And Paul explains here how that day of the Lord will impact the world. It will impact them unexpectedly. When they have a sense of security, it will come with destruction, come inescapably. And then we saw the difference in the impact for the church saints because of their nature, verses 4 and 5. And we've looked at the duties for believers, spent some time looking at what it means to be watchful, that is to be spiritually alert, and to be sober, that is to be in control of our minds, to be sober. And then along with these duties and also connected to them is a matter of being on guard. That's what I want to focus on this morning. And we see here, we're going to look at verses 8 and 9 and 10 especially. We see here there's another duty that goes along with being sober and being alert. And it is this idea of putting on armor, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and the helmet, the hope of salvation. And when you put on armor, when you think about armor, that reminds us of being in a battle, being in a situation where there is attack coming at us. And when you know you're going into a situation like that, you're going to want to have some kind of protection on, some kind of armor. And it seems there's that thought here, that there's a battle, and armor reminds us about defense. There are enemies. And so Paul is reminding believers, in light of all this, to put on armor. So we're going to look at what that is. First of all, there's a breastplate. He says to put on the breastplate. What's a breastplate? Well, it's something that goes over the torso. Something, usually, it's going to give protection to your vital organs, right in this area. Your heart and your lungs and your stomach and intestines, and that it's protecting those vital organs. And, of course, this is a picture of something spiritual, but Paul describes it as faith and love. That breastplate consists of faith and love, the breastplate of faith and love. And so it's these attitudes that give protection. Faith, obviously, is an attitude that is directed towards God. We have faith, and that is something we have towards God, towards Jesus Christ. And that is a protecting type of attitude. Then we have love. And that is an attitude that can be towards God. Of course, we should love God. But perhaps the main idea is the attitude that we have towards other people. And as Christians, we are constantly reminded to have that attitude of love towards one another. And these are protecting attitudes, the breastplate of faith and love. Then there's this helmet. There's a helmet here, verse 8. And for an helmet, the hope of salvation. The helmet is defined as the hope of salvation here. And of course, a helmet, if you think about a soldier, he's got a helmet on, and that gives protection to what? To the head. The head is another vital organ. If you take a bullet to the head or an arrow to the head, it's all over. And there's this thought of protecting the head, and perhaps along with that, protecting the mind, the thoughts, and when it comes to spiritual things. But this helmet is defined as the hope of salvation. And salvation here is not just a sort of a wishful thought about salvation. That's not what hope is in the New Testament. It's a certainty, the certain hope of salvation. And it seems that this helmet involves our recognizing certain things about our salvation as Paul continues on with this thought in verse 9 especially. Notice what it says there. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. That hope of salvation is our helmet. What do we need to think about in reference to our salvation? Well, first of all, that salvation is an appointment. It's an appointment for salvation. You probably make appointments for various things, maybe doctor's appointments, maybe you make an appointment to meet with somebody. And what happens to your appointments? Do they always work out? I know with mine, they don't always work out. You know, just because I have an appointment with somebody, that doesn't mean that it's necessarily going to happen. You know, it doesn't matter what my plans might be. I hope it does, but doesn't always mean that. But here we have an appointment that God makes. God makes an appointment for salvation. God's appointments always work out. Nothing can change them. And as we think about salvation, we need to think about that fact, that it is an appointment that God has made. And yes, it's true, we have a response. We'll get to that in a moment here, but there's another side of salvation that God has appointed. He has made an appointment for His children, for them to be saved. It's not going to be canceled. And then notice that it is a salvation from wrath. God hath not appointed us to wrath. Earlier in this epistle, Paul wrote about our deliverance from future wrath. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 10 says, and to wait for His Son from heaven, whom He raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. So the Bible speaks about wrath in the sense of God's divine punishment, His judgment against somebody. The Bible tells us that that's coming in the future. And it speaks of our salvation from that future wrath. Romans 5, verse 9 says, much more than being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. There's that future punishment, which is defined as God's wrath. And in salvation, God promises to deliver us from that future wrath. But as we look at the Scripture, there's also an expression of wrath in time. The context of chapter 5, as we've walked through this in the past weeks at various points, we've seen that that involves a description of sudden destruction. Verse 3, of the day of the Lord. We saw that that's talking about the tribulation. As you look at the context of this chapter 5 here, it's talking about that future time of judgment the tribulation. And then Paul is speaking about salvation here, putting on that helmet of salvation. What does that involve? It's salvation from wrath. And you look at the context here, and that is the context of the tribulation. And so, you know, another way we can think about this is the fact that salvation involves deliverance for us from that time of wrath here. There's other passages that describe the tribulation as a time of wrath. There in Revelation chapter 6, you remember the series of judgments there that Revelation describes. There's three of those. You've got the seals and the trumpets and the bowls, and you walk through all those series of judgments. That's the tribulation. And beginning with the first series of judgments, the seal judgments, Revelation chapter 6, we see those coming upon the earth in the tribulation. Even in that early series of judgments, the seal judgments, in that period of time, those judgments are described as wrath. Those early judgments. Revelation chapter 6 and verse 15 says that the kings of the earth, the great men and the rich man and the chief captains and the mighty men and every bondman and every free man hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains because of these judgments that are coming upon the earth. Verse 16, Revelation 6, and said to the mountains and the rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. So there's the recognition early on in the tribulation that what's going on there at that period of time is wrath. And we look at this promise here. Salvation involves God's appointment for believers to be apart from that. God has not appointed us to wrath. And then we see that it is a salvation that must be obtained. Verse 9 again, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. To obtain, it's something that must be obtained. That means that there's a response that's needed. And there must be a response of faith. We see that salvation is an appointment. God has made an appointment for salvation for individuals, yes. That's taught in the Scriptures. But the other side of that is we have to obtain it. How do we obtain it? Do we work for it? No. We accept it by faith. It's a gift from God. And that's how we obtain it. It's something that must be obtained. And then we see also that it is salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. But to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Jesus Christ has purchased our salvation. He died on the cross for our sins. His death was for us, who died for us. That is, in our place, as a substitute for us, to take the punishment that we deserve. Salvation is through Jesus Christ. And we see, finally, it's salvation for the goal of eternal life with Christ. Paul talks about whether we wake or sleep. That reminds us back in the discussion of the rapture in 1 Thessalonians 4. We see these two categories of people, both the dead and the living, those that wake or sleep. Verse 14 back in 1 Thessalonians 4, if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. And so the promise of the rapture is a promise for those that are living. And there's that resurrection that happens at that time for those that are dead in Christ. And we see that salvation involves that goal of eternal life with Christ. And so all of that is part of the helmet. And Paul, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, tells us here that we need to put on that helmet of salvation to protect our mind with the thought of the certainty of salvation in these areas. We live in a battle zone. What will protect us? Well, God has given us armor here. The breastplate of faith and love, the helmet of salvation. And so we need to put it on. Put it on and keep it on as we live in the midst of these days in which we are in. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we recognize again this morning that we are under attack. We are in the midst of a spiritual battle, and we need protection. You've told us that here. We pray that you would protect our mind, keep our thoughts in the place where they ought to be. Help us to recognize the attitudes we ought to have here of faith and love. And most of all, encourage us with the thought of our salvation. We thank you for the certainty of it here and the promise that we have of not facing your wrath, whether that be here on the earth in the tribulation or for eternity. Thank you for the protection that we have through Jesus Christ. And thank you again for allowing us to meet here today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Well, I trust that you grabbed a prayer sheet this morning. And it's the one that should say November 23rd. I believe that's the most recent one. And so we're going to spend some time in prayer here. And before we do that, I want to take some prayer requests. And we want to pray for the Ray family, Al Ray's mother. Of course, she passed away, and the funeral was yesterday down in Kentucky. And so is there any report on how that went, or, you know, not sure? Okay, so the funeral was down in Monticello, which is way down there. Looked up on the map,
yeah.
Almost to Tennessee, in Kentucky. But Kentucky has a limit on gatherings of 25 people max. And so there was a limit on who could go. And they didn't want to make the time even public because of that reason. They didn't want to have too many people show up. So that was by the funeral home's direction. And so pray for the Ray family. Al's mother passed away. All right. Any other prayer requests or praises you have this morning? Yes, Sue.
A girl I work with, she's not able to work right now. The cancer she has is moving through her body. Nicole Hyatt.
Okay, Nicole Hyatt, this is a lady that Sue works with. She has cancer, it's progressing. Nicole Hyatt. All right, anybody else? Yes, Shirley?
I'm talking to my friend Renata, and she says the Mazzies have the virus. But they're not suffering, they're doing okay, but pray for them.
Okay.
Most people know the Mazzies.
All right, report about the Mazzies. Apparently they have the virus, so pray for them as they recover. Sounds like they're doing okay, but recovering through that. So the Mazzies have the virus. And I've heard of a number of other people that have it. Mrs. Ogden's sister's husband. He had some other trouble too, but he did test positive for the virus. So there is more and more people that are testing positive that have it. So pray for that. Anybody else? Yes, Mrs. Gutsman.
Just continue praying for the Sharp family. Every week there's just been something that's interfered, but she still wants the children to come.
Okay, pray for the Sharp family and their kids have come, and for the whole family, just pray they'd be able to to come out with us. All right, anybody else? I guess we could share a praise about our thank offering so far, which was, you want to share how much?
It's, right up to this moment, it's $2,450.
Okay, so the thank offering so far is $2,450, so that's a praise. And there's still opportunity to give towards that if you'd like to. And we're going to be trying to get our live streaming up here, so pray for that. That requires us to have the internet here at the church, which has been ordered from CenturyLink, but there's an approval process currently on their end, and it's, so pray that that would come soon. It's currently waiting on somebody's desk, but just pray that that would go through with CenturyLink. All right, anybody else? Yes, Norm.
For the children that served the meal that night, they got a fabulous job.
All right. The kids were able to serve last Sunday night. We had a meal here, and thankful for them doing that, as well as my wife and Donna Ray. They helped a lot too. Okay, anybody else? Other prayer requests, praises? Yes, Lee.
Yes, just to be honest, she's a little bit under the mother, and she's got a wonderful teacher evaluation tomorrow, so that's seems like one she fits every month. So just fears are on that.
Okay, pray for Donna Ray not feeling well today, and also having a teacher evaluation tomorrow. So pray
for a tax appointment when she comes home.
And another tax appointment, so. Some stressful things tomorrow. All right, anybody else? Yes, Pastor Gossett.
Just continued prayer for the, whatever our final our elections are, and if there's a new administration, just the appointment of a number of ones that each one could affect our lives in various ways.
Okay, pray for the final result of our election. And, of course, as things change with various people being appointed, pray for the protection of our freedoms here. All right. Anybody else today? Any other prayer requests? All right. Be sure to look at the prayer sheet and have some various requests we've had on here for a while. Also pray for people we visited here in our church community lately. We've had some just some good visits with people, and pray that the Lord would use those to encourage them to think about the gospel, to come out to church, and so just pray for that. All right, and then continue to pray for Scott's business. He did get some results back. I don't think they were what he was hoping for from the auction, but pray for the business still as it goes forward. All right, anybody else? All right, well, let's go ahead and divide up. We'll have our ladies go in the room over here.